Very popular movie. Many of you have seen it. Shawshank Redemption. The storyline of Andy Dufresne, who gets framed for a crime that he did not commit. As you follow the storyline, he is there thrown in, here's this accountant type from upper middle class family who had never even been by prison, much less in a prison, who then is thrown into this prison life with many guys who may have said, we shouldn't be there, but you know they had committed the crime. But here was an innocent man. And it's interesting that in the story, I'm not recommending the movie today, but in the story, Andy spends his whole time, he's in that prison 20 years before he breaks out. But he never accepts the fact that he's a prisoner. He never accepts that he's in jail. He never lives with that like it's a reality in his life, because he knows he's innocent. Everything in the system says he's guilty. The jury said he was guilty. The judge said he was guilty. The warden says he's guilty. And all the prisoners, they laugh at him when he pretends to be innocent. Today's message is about condemnation. If you'll turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 8, a very popular scripture. It says there, there's now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. Let us pray. Lord, I'm asking you that you will speak to us today. Speak to us through your word. Make it clear. Make it plain. Lord, I pray for us as a body, we would not cooperate with the evil one. We would see ourselves as you see us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Now that great verse, those couple of verses, come following chapter 7. We'll not read chapter 7 today in the message, but I would encourage you to go back and especially begin reading the last half of Romans chapter 7, where Paul goes through this dichotomy. He says, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Why? Because the sin that dwells within me. And what he gives a picture of there is the struggle between the two natures. When we get saved, we receive a new nature. The Lord makes us new. We're new people. But there's that residue of the old nature that we struggle with. That sin nature that is there, that if we give in to that, if we feed that in our lives, it grows in our lives. And he describes there in the last part of chapter 7 the struggle that he goes with living the life of Christ in his life. Have any of you struggled this week with living the life of Jesus? Okay. Everybody that's a Christian here that ought to have their hand up. Because that's a battle that goes on. He concludes that in chapter 7 by saying in verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. He answers the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He shouts out, oh, wretched man I am. I'm struggling with this, with this that's going on. I'm struggling with the battle that's going on. Now, I refer you back to the fourth chapter of Matthew. Because right after Jesus is baptized, Holy Spirit comes there, we hear the Father. Yeah, there's a Trinitarian passage, if there ever was one. Here is Jesus, the Son, who is being baptized by John the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit descends upon him, an empowerment that comes there. And we hear the Father speaking at that very moment. And there it is right there. What happens after that? Very next verse says what? Then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, drives him out into the wilderness for what to happen? There to be tempted by the devil. So, here's something. We tend to think of, well, surely God wouldn't let this temptation come into our lives. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to announce to you today that's part of His growth plan for us. That's part of what He uses in our life. And here's Jesus modeling that. If you've got an idea of the Christian life today that has all peaches and cream with your feet propped up all the time and you're just going to glide right into glory, let me tell you, that plan is not found in this book. That plan has not been lived out by any of the generations of believers that have gone before us. It is a battle. What did Jesus go into battle there in Matthew 4? What happened? He battled the world, the flesh, and the devil. And let me tell you, at every juncture, it was personal. The world system. Remember the story. Remember the story. Satan comes after he's been on this long fast, and he tempts him with what? Turn these stones into bread. So I'm battling my flesh. Let me ask you, have you battled with your flesh this week? Anybody? Has your flesh wanted to rise up sometime? Or maybe just the part of your flesh that represents this jugular vein right here. Maybe that part just rose up a little bit. Then the evil one takes him where? Takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple and says, throw yourself down. So what's the battle there? Here's the battle of the world system. So all the people will see. You know, that there he's battling the world system. Then he takes him on the top of the mountain and he shows him all the kings of the world. He says, I'll give you all this if you'll do what? Bow down to me. So there it gets personal. You know, the flesh, the world system, and the evil one and all of his henchmen, personally. It's a battle. So we come then to Paul saying, I'm battling. This is personal. This is personal. I want to show you how personal it is. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Remember all the T's are together? Keep reminding you of that. How to find things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Keep your thumb there in Romans 8. Chapter 2, verse 18. Well, we'll read 17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while, in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face. He's talking about this relationship. And Paul had this relationship, wonderful relationship with all these churches. But Paul was not a pretty it up kind of guy. He was a speak the truth, straight up in your face kind of type A personality. Verse 18, "For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once." Been wanting to come to you. He makes this odd statement, some would say. "And yet Satan hindered us." You remember somebody else that talked about being hindered on their way and to answer a prayer? Can you think of somebody? In Daniel, who? The angel that was coming to answer and answered his prayer. In fact, that angel said he gave specific time that he was prevented. How long was he prevented? 21 days. 21 days he'd been bound. Go back and read it. This stuff's in the Bible. This stuff's in the Bible. So Paul, the great Paul, the great prayer warrior, the great preacher, the great teacher, the most educated. You know, he was Phi Beta Kappa. He had doctorates behind his name. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He had a pedigree that ended all pedigree. The great Paul said he was hindered by Satan. So let me ask you, if Paul was battling, what does that say for me and you? What does that say? It says the ground is level when it comes to this battle that we're in, this battle in the flesh, battle in the spirit, battle with the world. And in the middle of that, then he announces, verse 1, chapter 8 in Romans, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." He's announcing that the condemnation that the evil one would want to bring upon you, that would nullify you, that would say that what has really happened in Christ in your life, oh, that doesn't make any difference. Just like Andy Dufresne. He refused to live as a prisoner. I want to say to you today, I suspect that most of the real church in America, in the West, is living under some kind of condemnation. Something, a lie that they've come into agreement with the evil one. A lie from your past that he's dangling over your head. Just like most of our politicians, the 535 that represent the Senate and the House of Representatives of our nation and our judge. How many of them, when you see a judge that at the last minute changes a decision about something, that you know that's not where that man was coming from. You know that decision was not his. And you're wondering, what did somebody dangle over his head? We see it acted out in politics. We see it acted out in business. We see it acted out in our lives. But more than that, where do we see it acted out? All I've got to do is go to the mirror and see all the lies the evil one's trying to foist upon me. To say you're a nothing. To say you're not really forgiven. To say that, oh, that's just what the Bible says. That's just that religious stuff. And even this idea that you set up a, well, this is your secular life and this is your spiritual life. Let me tell you, that's a lie. That's not true. There's no such dichotomy. There's no such separation. It's all spiritual. Every decision we make, every moment we live, it's spiritual. What condemnation are you living in? And then what happens? We start believing that lie. That becomes our worldview. And then where do you go? Where does your life, your decisions go? You go towards the flesh. You go towards the evil one. You go towards the world system. You know, it's kind of like you're driving the car and you start looking at something to your right over there. And what do you do? What does the car do? Someone very close to me that I've been married to for a long time said that to me this week in a suggestive kind of tone, that I might want to watch what was ahead of me instead of what was over there. I mean, it was just a nice suggestion. Look at what's in front of you. But we need that, don't we? And who's in front of us? Who will lead us? Jesus. Who's already lived the life and knows how to tell us how to do it. Do you see that? Man, you get to the gospel and you see, not only, and people say, oh, you know, God, He's sitting up on His throne in heaven. He doesn't know how I live. How many of you have believed that lie from Him? He hasn't lived what? Whoa, wait a second. Whoa, back up. Yes, He has. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. No condemnation. I'm here to tell you today, you're a blood-bought, twice-born, in glory bound. You're the child. It's time to start acting like it. Not to cower back in fear about anything that's going on. World events, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for our nation's leaders. But know that we're going to be around when they wish they were. That God has His hand on us. I'm praying for our president. I'm praying for our Congress. I'm praying for Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm praying for the Parliament in Great Britain. I'm praying for Prime Minister Cameron. All these world leaders, as we're seeing biblical prophecy just acted out before our very lives, we're seeing it fulfilled on a daily basis. We're living in the most exciting times that have ever been. And God's not calling on us to put our heads in the sand and be condemned by the evil one. It's time to put your head up and say, I belong to the King, and I am not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to be forced to cower away. I belong to Jesus. We're not talking about beating people over the head with Bibles. I'm talking about living out the life of love that He has given to us, and with power to live. You are not condemned. The moment that you receive Jesus in your life, the very Spirit of Jesus Himself, the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in you. You became a temple of God. And He's showing that historically, that's what's happening. You know, we're looking for the time when, yes, He is going to set His kingdom up on the earth, and it will be a physical kingdom. And when He comes back the second time, He's going to set that up. But where's His kingdom right now? He set up residence in me and in you. Today, I'm asking you, cut off the lies. Cut off the shenanigans. Cut off the access that the evil one has to your life. And listen, none of us is exempt from those lies. He'll come to all of us. And He is not very creative, is He? Because where does He come at you? He comes to that same place again and again. Just trying that door one time to see if it'll be open. We must be vigilant for one another.
pray for each other. That's why we need each other. We need the family. We're going to pray for us. We're going to open the altar. Invite you if you want to come and pray, if you want to come spend some time here. If you want to come and just say, Lord, show me the lies that are in my life where I've come in agreement with a lie about condemnation. You are not condemned. You are saved by His grace. You are sanctified by Him, made holy. And He's preparing you to spend eternity with Him. Just like Bill Hunter said, destined for the to be around the throne of God forever. It's all about your perspective. He loves you. Let's pray. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus in your life, I encourage you today to turn your life to Him. He'll come into your life, make you a new person. But that begins by you agreeing with Him about your need, that you sinned and you need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. If you're here today, and that's the rest of us, that belong to Jesus, and we've believed lies and we've allowed ourselves to be condemned by the evil one and neutralized in our service. Proclaim the truth. Jesus said, the one that I set free is free. You shall know the truth. And who is the truth? Yeshua, Jesus. He shall set you free. Lord, I'm praying that right now. I'm praying, Lord, for us, that we would turn to You with our lives, that we would live our lives like that. Come, Lord. Come. In Your name we pray. Ask our pastors, our life group leaders, take their places. The altar's up. Only here. perfect peace. Your nail-scarred hands and mine so tenderly lead me on to perfect peace.
We'd like for all those who are going down to the park to feed the homeless today, if y'all would come on up here at this time. Come on. We're going to have enough help. Come on in close. Come on in close. Y'all get on close. Don't line up like you're at some religious organization, you know. All right. Now, the rest of you want to come and lay hands on them, you can come around, surround them right now. We're going to anoint the group. Instead of using this little thing, I've got a 5-gallon sprayer. I'm going to... There's a pastor that did that out in Colorado in a 55-gallon drum on the back of a pickup truck. He anointed his whole city.
Yeah.
So come on, Beverly, you can stand up here and you'll be the representative person, okay? All right, y'all, the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, just like the scripture says, so drip down and all that, everything, okay. We're going out today and to feed the homeless. We're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we're praying for power that the Lord will give us sensitive spirits that will reflect, that will be just a luminary, will reflect the presence of God in what we do and say, what we put our hand to. Lord, to give us opportunities to share. So let's pray that right now as we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now lay hands on each other as we pray right now. Now, Lord, we pray for your power. We pray, Lord, that you would come. Holy Spirit, you've beat us to the park.
You're here, you're there. Lord, we thank you for that. Now, empower us to be the very hands and feet of Jesus. Let love flow through our lives. Give us a discerning eye and a warm spirit right now. Thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do. We pray for Samuel, Lord, and all those who are ministering in the park. Lord, I pray you'll encourage them today. Watch over us now, Lord, as we go in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you receive that prayer? Amen. Well, we're through now. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back and two up front. Go in His grace.